Good morning to each one, and blessings to each one that has chosen to come out this morning and worship here with us. I guess the Lord must have decided to have a theme this morning, because thank you, Dennis, for your devotions, but I believe it'll just be a continuation of what he was talking about. And as I opened the Sunday school lesson, I didn't think it would run too much into my thoughts, and yet the direction we went with Sunday school was very much down the same line as what I have chosen to share on this morning. But I've also chosen to do something a little different this morning. I purposely cut my notes very short, and I hope I don't do what Edward did Wednesday evening. He said he was only going to talk 10 minutes, and he ended up having about a 45-minute topic, which was fine. I needed that topic very much. But I intend to have a very short message this morning, and in relation to the Sunday school, it talked about edifying, and I think one part of church life is hearing from the congregation. Sunday after Sunday, Harold and Glenn and I stand up here and speak, and I especially noticed the last little while that we were running past 12 o'clock, and I would ask for testimonies or whatever, and nobody would give any. And I don't blame you. When you're holding a small baby and it's quarter after 12, everybody's saying, let's just shut this down and go home. I intend to close early today. I hope I get there. And I would like to hear from you all, not necessarily on this morning's message, but just what is Christ doing in your life? Where are you at? Not everybody has to share, but I think being open and sharing is an important and integral part of church life. Message title is, What Will I Give? Turn to Luke chapter 9. These are just some musings and ponderings that I've had this week, born of a number of events, recent happenings in my life, recent conversations, recent observations, recent news articles. And I just kind of, well, I normally don't have real structured sermons, and this morning is going to be even less structured. You may take notes. I'm not going to tell you you can't, but I feel sorry for you because it's just a lot of rambling. And I want to edify you as well. Let's go to Luke 9. I want to read several verses here, starting in 23. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whomsoever will lose his life for my sake, for Jesus' sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory, and his father, and of the holy angels. What am I willing to give this morning for the cause of Christ and for the church? One of the thoughts that immediately came into my mind, I'm trying to decide if I should use this one example or not, but one of the thoughts that immediately come into my mind is, I always look at this, and immediately my mind goes to the congregation sitting here, and I say, what do they need to give up? And I can immediately start looking at you, brethren, and say, you know, he could give this up, she could give that up, and we could have a close relationship. But that is completely missing the point. What can I give up personally for the cause of Christ this morning? We as humans can usually justify our own reasons why we cannot give up things in our life, and yet we expect our brethren to give up more than what we are willing to give up. And I don't believe this is being a true disciple of Christ. And I know that I need to work in it in myself. The recent happening of Sasha Kraus disappearing was one of the thoughts that kind of got me started on this. And I don't think we know exactly the reason of her disappearance, whether it was her own choosing or against her will. I would tend to believe the brethren at Farmington are being honest and are saying that she did not leave on her own will. I would believe that over a lot of other things. And yet, if I say across the pulpit this morning that is why she left, it could easily start a rumor that is not true. But with the information we have, it would seem that she did not leave on her own will. Could this be considered a form of persecution today? As you stop and think about it, it didn't come from the government that we know of. But somewhere, somebody is not following Christ, and it upset them, perhaps to a point that they took her. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. But is this a form of persecution that the churches in America are beginning to face? What more is coming? You look at the news media, and there's so little that you can believe out of the liberals. But as agendas are being pushed, and you see more and more Christian organizations having to bow down to the evil of our society, especially the evil coming out of Hollywood, there's Protestant churches and Protestant businesses that are having to make a choice. I just think of Chick-fil-A. They had to make the choice of either accepting the evil influence of Hollywood or being, what's the term, banned from many organizations. They had to give a choice. And Chick-fil-A is known to be a Christian-based organization. That's why they are closed on Sunday, because it is a day of rest. And I credit them for that. There's very few businesses that are that large that respect the Lord's Day. And yet, they were brought to a place where they needed to make a choice. I think Salvation Army was another one. And they chose the rejection. And I don't believe that it's going to just stay out there. We're going to face it more and more. And I ask the question, what are you willing to give up? Also, there was a conversation last weekend talking about the Moravian Brethren. I knew very little of them. In fact, for a long time, I thought they were part of the Anabaptist people. But I, from my studies, I don't think the Moravian Brethren really are connected. There's a lot of thoughts and beliefs that are a lot the same as the Anabaptists. They would have started a lot around the mid-1400s. And one of the men that got it started was a Catholic priest that read his Bible and chose to live the way Christ taught. Much persecution. And there is a story, and I tried to find this story online, and I didn't find a solid base for it. But there is a story of two men that left their families, their wives, and their children, and they went to an area where there was a lot of slavery. And the only way to get to that area was to go on a slave ship. And the only way they could go, supposedly, was to become slaves. Now, the owners of the ships would not make them slaves because they were white. But as I pondered that story, these men were willing to become slaves, looked down on people, cast out. They were willing to let their wives, their children, their families behind, expecting never to return. There's many stories in our Anabaptist history that are very similar to that, where men and women would make choices above and beyond family relation ties. They knew that when they joined a Jesus Christ, they were writing their death sentence. And I thought about, where am I in life? What am I willing to give up? We don't have persecution to that extent. And yet Jesus tells us that if we're followers of him, we are going to suffer. And I sometimes think the suffering we have, I want to say this carefully, some of the suffering we have is brought upon us because of our unwillingness to give up of ourselves. I hope you understand what I'm saying. God does bring suffering and pain into our lives, but I think a lot of our suffering comes of our own unwillingness to give up of our own selves. How many of us would be willing to leave Luna County, never expecting to return? And I thought about this. This is the example I wasn't sure to leave. When we went to start this church, there's a lot of things I want to forget about that. But one of the things that kept coming up was, well, not everybody can move. Some of us have to stay and support. That is a human mindset. We all want to stay home. I guess we didn't. But I don't know that that makes us any better people. But we as humans are comfortable with the familiar and we don't want to give up. But somebody needs to go. Interestingly enough, the Moravian Brethren probably spread the gospel more completely and more quickly than almost any other church group in the world. And that to me is impressive. Their goal is, one of their main things is spreading the gospel. And to be a part of their church, you have to be willing to be part of that. If you're not willing to be part of that, you cannot be part of their church. And I don't know where they stand and all that as of today. There are still many Moravian churches around. But I use them as an example for my life. What am I willing to give up? What do I hang on to as a Christian? Or as a follower of Christ, what do I so often hang up? What am I willing to give up? I think about in the monetary area. I knew of Mennonite people in Pennsylvania and other places as well that were very, very frugal with their money. But in that frugality, they were still selfish, and I can be that way as well. Many Anabaptist people are known for their frugal living. They don't spend much. But more and more, as I see materialism creeping into the church, they're saving that money up for themselves. And I don't know that that's right. I know that it's not right. What can I give up today? As far as time, money, valuables, what can I give up that will not benefit me only, but the church of Christ? In fact, I need to be dropped out of there. That little I needs to be dropped. What can I give up as far as money, as far as time, valuables for the cause of Christ? That is being a true Christian. That is the true mindset of the Christian, I should say. What can I give up? What can I personally give up? What can I do without today so that Christ's kingdom can be advanced? Many times I look at it as, what can I give up today? Being a good steward, what can I give up today to have a bigger barn later on or to build a bigger barn? But rather, Christ is calling, what can I give up today to further the cause of Christ? And I really appreciated Edward's topic Wednesday night. He spoke in one small area, I believe, of things that especially I could give up. And probably his main thing he spoke on was sugar. The amount of sugar us Americans consume is actually ridiculous, and even I. And you start thinking about cutting back in sugar, and you're buying perhaps one 20-pound bag or whatever sugar comes in. Maybe it's only a 5-pound bag. Maybe you do without one or two of those a month. And what do you do? What do you replace that with? Where does that money go that you were spending on sugar? And it doesn't come just in a bag either. But food in general, Americans consume more food and sugar. I guess sugar is part of food. But could we give up more food for the cause of Christ? We're willing to give up food to pad our pockets sometimes. But can we change that thinking into, can I give up food? And that's just one area. There's other things that we can give up. Can we wear the clothes a little longer? Can we drive the vehicle a little longer? Many things, many, many things that we can give up for the sake of the kingdom. Am I willing to do that? Back to the thought of persecution. I believe what Brother Harold shares tonight, it'll be kind of another story of persecution and a man willing to put his life on the line. But since 2018, and I failed to write down what group this is, but there's a group out there watching the persecutions around the world. And they said since 2018 till now, there's been a 14% increase in persecution around the globe. And one of the numbers they gave this year was 2,983 Christians were killed for faith-related reasons in 2019. That's close to 8 people per day. And I don't know how many of you have been into Luke Flory's house, but in their dining room they have a wall map of hostile regions, and I just saw a picture of it this morning. Again, I asked him for it, and I forget what the other heading is. But basically the idea of absolutely no tolerance in these areas. So you have the hostile and the no tolerance. Colombia was one in this hemisphere that is hostile. And as I looked at that colored map on the wall, I kind of noticed that there, if you put the hostile and the no tolerance regions together, there's less area of freedom in the world than there is in hostile and no tolerance for Christianity. Do we need to be in fear? I don't think so. Let's go to Matthew 10 and read what Jesus says about this. Matthew 10. I was going to read a number of verses here, but I'm running out of time. Matthew 10. I will read here at verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But be aware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. You shall be brought before governors, kings, and for my sake, for testimony against them and the Gentiles. And he goes on to, I was going to read a few more verses, but I'll stop there. He goes on to explain that don't think ahead what you're going to say. Just allow the Spirit to work in your life. But Jesus told us that when we follow him to expect persecution. And so when we see these world maps and we hear of all these things happening, it should not cause us to tremble, but to rejoice. Because we know that these things are coming. And perhaps if we were more bold, I think of how the apostles prayed for boldness when they were brought in the first and second time as a church was being established. They came home and they prayed for boldness. And Paul, he asked the people to give him boldness. And perhaps if you and I were more bold today, that we would suffer more persecution. I don't think that's the answer to life is persecution. But what am I willing to give up? What if it was me that was taken instead of Sasha? What if it was me that was stabbed instead of that young man? Would I be willing to give up? Or would have I buckled under the pressure, and would have I somehow recanted because I was hanging on to family, or I was hanging on to my business, or I was hanging on to, you fill in the blanks, what you're hanging on to this morning. Would have I been willing to follow through? What about if I would have been born in the Middle East in a Christian family? Would have I been willing to be committed. God didn't place me there. He placed me here in this part of the world. But he still calls me to give up, to serve. Before I close, I'd like to read one more example of Jesus gave us in Luke chapter 10. Once again, there's a number of verses here. I don't think I'll read all of them. It's just the story of the Good Samaritan. And I believe this fits into my life almost perfectly. Because too often I am that priest or that Levite walking down the road. And I am so consumed with my interest, my life, my family, my children, whatever. You fill in the blanks. I'm so consumed with that. And it may be somewhat of a good work. Not just somewhat. Raising a family is a good work. It is an awesome responsibility and a calling that God has given to us. Our mission fields start in our families. But I become so wrapped up in those that I fail to see the wounded along the road. And as Jesus gives this story, he takes the most unlikely person in their day and in their mind and paints them as the helper in the situation. Not the administrators of their day, not the people that they looked up to, the people that should have been the religious people that should have been the first ones there, were too consumed with their own things. And I feel like in my life that is where I am so often. But I do want to read verse 37 here. And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." This was the man answering the question that Jesus presented. Well, I'll just read 36. "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." As Jesus brings scenarios into your life and into mine, what are you willing to give up? What are you willing to let go? What kind of dreams are you going to let go? I know that is one thing that I struggle with a lot, is I love to dream. But all my dreams, too often, I shouldn't say all, too often my dreams settle around myself and what I want to do. That's not what Christ has called us. He has called us to a life of sacrifice and being frugal with the things that he gave us, not for ourselves, but for the advancement of his kingdom. Let's kneel for prayer.